Last week, the Australian Taxation Office released data which shows how much Australians claim in tax concessions, particularly in regard to negative gearing. Despite the various issues associated with negative gearing, the federal government is planning to retain the concession alongside the capital gains tax. I spoke to Australian Perspectives Fellow at the Grattan Institute, Danielle Wood, about the data and problems arising from negative gearing. What does the recently released ATO data tell us about how negative gearing is used?
So what we know is that we've got about 2 million landlords in this country, so 2 million Australian households that own investment properties. Of those, about two-thirds, or about 1.3 million, are negatively geared. And the rates of taxpayers negatively gearing has actually stabilised over the last couple of years as interest rates are particularly low. You have less interest deductions, and therefore we're seeing sort of a stabilisation of people that are using negative gearing.
If there is a fluctuation in interest rates, what is the effect of that?
So basically, to understand what negative gearing is, it's when you make a loss on your property, so your rental income isn't sufficient to cover your costs, and that includes your interest costs, then you can write those losses off against your taxable income. So basically reduce the tax that you pay on your other income, including your wage income. So when interest rates are low, you've got a lower deduction, and therefore your losses tend to be smaller. So that's why interest rates have an impact on the proportion of people that are negatively gearing. So you can imagine if interest rates go up in the future, we'll probably see more people negatively gearing and higher losses being written off.
Scott Morrison has championed this idea that it's the teachers and the nurses that are the ones taking advantage of negative gearing. Is that in fact reality?
Look, like a lot of things in politics, there's some degree of truth in that. So we've sort of tried to look behind the figures to see which occupations tend to use negative gearing more. So teachers and nurses, sort of around 10% of people in those occupational categories have negatively geared properties. That's higher than, sales assistants and cleaners, which sit below 5%. But at the other end of the spectrum, you've got surgeons, anaesthetists, engineers that are closer to 30% of those occupations negative gearing. So it definitely happens amongst teachers and nurses, but it's certainly not the professions that are using it the most.
And so are these lower income earners benefiting as much from negatively gearing property in comparison with those higher income earners?
Well, the other thing we know is that the average tax benefit that those occupations receive is much lower.
According to tax data from previous years, two-thirds of the benefit of negative gearing goes to one-fifth of taxpayers with the highest income before concessions.
So that suggests that either the losses they're making are smaller, and also probably because their marginal tax rates are lower, they get a much smaller tax benefit. So for example, for nurses and teachers, the average tax benefit's around $250 a year. So that's $250 they're writing off their tax bill. If you look up the other end of the spectrum again, surgeons and anaesthetists, you're more sort of $3,000 a year. So there's a very big difference in the extent of the benefit that negative gearing gives by occupation.
What are the main issues in regards to negative gearing, and how do they manifest?
The main issue is really the interaction of negative gearing with the capital gains tax discount. So as we explained before, when you're negatively gearing, you're writing your investment losses off in full each year against your taxable income. Because we give a discount on income from capital gains, when you eventually sell that property, you're taxed, but only at half the rate. So what that means is people can basically use this strategy of investing in loss-making investment properties on the expectation that they'll make a capital gain to reduce the amount of tax they pay. That has all sorts of broader implications. It encourages people to speculate on house prices. It encourages them to load up their properties with debt. And so that kind of have implications for the stability of the market as a whole. Obviously, it also makes investing in housing more attractive, which pushes up price and eventually kind of forces out other buyers that would like to live in those homes.
In relation to the latter part of what you just said, in Brisbane at least, it has been forecasted that the property bubble is likely to burst. What effects will changes in the economic climate have on those investors who are taking advantage of negative gearing?
It's difficult to say what's going to happen to house prices. And as you say, in Brisbane, there's certainly been a big glut in apartments. So people are certainly forecasting that there'll be some downturn in prices there. The issue for all investors, but particularly those that are negative gearing, is they are exposed to that. So you run the risk that You've had a strategy that only works if prices continue to rise, and if they don't rise, then you've made a loss on your investment.
Are Labor's proposed changes to negative gearing and also the capital gains tax viable alternatives to the current system?
Grattan has their own proposals, but they're not totally dissimilar to the Labor proposals. Labor is proposing to say that if you have investment losses, you can only write them off against other income from investments. You can't write them up from your wage and salary income. We think that's a sensible proposal. They are proposing to continue to allow negative gearing for new properties on the basis that that would continue to stimulate new supply. And they're also proposing a cut in the capital gains tax discount.
Labor plans to restrict negative gearing to new housing and to reduce the capital gains tax discount from 50% to 25%.
And the idea of that is that it will remove some of those distortions that I talked about before, so some of the incentives to speculate on property and to take out more debt than you might otherwise.
What effect would the removal of negative gearing have on house prices?
Having negative gearing and the capital gains tax discount together certainly creates an incentive for more investment in housing. But I think often the impact of that on overall prices is overstated in the public debate. So our modelling suggests that if you were to wind back some of those tax concessions, you probably would get a moderation in house prices. So we estimate about 2% lower house prices than you otherwise would have. So it may just be slower growth in prices as opposed to an actual fall.
Whilst we are yet to see the full effects of potential changes in interest rates on the property market, the increased attractiveness of negative gearing to lower income earners may expose them to greater financial risk. Lucy Chivinsky for 4ZZZ News.